Hey, from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, a show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
Hey, John, how's it going?
Getting by.
Okay.
The seasonal affective disorder is in full swing, but I am fighting against it. Long enough for us to record this.
I respect your blunt honesty. I thought you would have just gone with some generic, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm not feeling the generic, yeah, I'm fine.
Ooh, wow.
It's getting dark at like 4:30.
It's weird.
What the hell?
We're shrouded in darkness at every turn. Yeah, I guess that happens too. Like as the winter comes and the weather gets colder, like it affects people's moods.
It's a thing.
Yeah, but it's also almost close to Christmas, and Christmas is happy times.
Yeah.
Eggnog and elves and what have you.
Okay.
You know, wear shoes with bells on them, reindeer and stuff. Did I mention eggnog?
You did.
Okay.
Okay.
There's that, mistletoe and eggnog.
Yeah.
That's.
You made a great case.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, it's you've turned me around.
Thank you. You're welcome. See, made a difference.
Yeah, but so we're here. We're here to talk about SNL season 45, episode 8 from December 7th, 2019, with Jennifer Lopez hosting and DaBaby musical guesting.
DaBaby.
So
I don't know why I said it like that.
I don't know.
All right, I was just trying to be funny.
Yeah. No. Okay.
Now you got me into your seasonal depression.
I'm sorry. I didn't give that the joke it deserved. I got a text message just as you made that joke,
oh,
so I was
breaking,
momentarily distracted.
Breaking news.
No, I don't think it's nothing that can't wait for a hour or two.
All right, so just news.
Just news.
Oh, dear. All right, well, this is getting off to a rip-roaring start.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said anything.
Criminy, man.
I'm bringing the whole room
Jeez,
down.
Jeez Louise, pep up. So the cold open. This will make you feel better.
I'm just gonna say it up front. I did not like this episode, you guys.
You did, yeah, it did. I mean, there were a few. Well, we'll get into it.
Yeah,
we're kind of spoiling it here, showing our hand here, but it.
It would have become very clear very quickly.
Yes.
So I'm just saying it right up front.
Cold open. They did something a little different here, where they had celebrity cameos in the cold open, which kind of shocked me. I was like, "What?"
I'm so done.
Are you okay?
With the ringers?
Oh my god,
I'm
are you alright?
So done with the ringers,
dude. You're looking on the verge of tears.
I think that the show has broken me.
So let's describe it. So
we had the NATO leaders, like this week in the news. There were some NATO leaders who were caught on a hot mic and they were making fun of Trump.
What? Why would
I'm sure happens every single time Trump goes to any sort of world summit or anything like that.
Yeah, like I can't imagine people like meeting Trump and as he leaves they say, "Wow, that guy has really got his stuff together.
He's on the ball. I was impressed with him. He did not embarrass himself and his nation."
That's right.
And
yeah, no, I'm sure everywhere he goes people are like, "What's wrong with that guy?"
Yeah, yeah. So Justin Trudeau was one of these people, and they were like, "Oh yeah, our jaws were agape," and I forget exactly what was said, but like,
oh yeah,
I mean, they decided
he's a right bolzer.
They had the NATO cafeteria, and we started out with Heidi and Chloe as
I guess
two people. They were sort of like high school
employees, or like, they were acting like
they're like, "Oh my god, can you believe this thing?"
And
yeah, they're very
like 80s. Valley girls,
yeah,
you know, high school cafeteria girls,
and they're like, and then we cut to we have Jimmy Fallon as Justin Trudeau and Paul Rudd as Emmanuel Macron, and I honestly at first with like Paul Rudd's wig,
right,
I for a split second thought he was Andy Samberg. It was like a mixture between the wig and the expression on his face.
But they don't look anything alike.
I know, it's the weirdest thing,
right.
It was like I wrote down Andy Samberg just from my first glimpse.
Okay, all right.
And then a second later, I was like, "Oh, where did Paul Rudd come from?" So, yeah.
And Boris Johnson.
Boris Johnson, James Corden as Chris Farley as Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
So
then the sketch basically kind of goes on with them just kind of talking and making fun of Trump. Yeah. And of course, Alec Baldwin returned as Trump.
Yeah, because his pact with Satan is still valid, apparently. You know, Satan's like, no, I mean, you sold me your soul. You have to keep doing this, Alec Baldwin.
Check the fine print, Trump.
And Baldwin's like, God damn it. I have to keep playing Trump until the end of time. Even if he's not president, I have to keep. How does that work?
Oh, God. It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
I know, it really is.
It's like the episode with like Jack Klugman, where you're like this pool player.
Yeah, and sure, like a game of pool.
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah. And he had to get beat. So somebody has to like beat Baldwin in a game of pool, and then that person becomes the new Trump.
Oh, is that how it works?
I'm pretty sure.
That makes sense. That makes sense, yeah. Because it can't be like, do a better Trump impression than Alec Baldwin, because that's most everybody.
Yeah, very much so, yeah. Oh boy, coming in hot on this episode.
So they're the cool kids, and they're making and Trump's the odd man out. Yeah, and he's like, hey, is this seat taken? And they're like, oh no, somebody's coming. It's you have to go sit over there with Latvia, and Latvia seems more your speed. And then Trump goes over, and he's like, oh my God, I'm at the loser table. And Alex Moffat is the guy from Latvia.
Of course, and then Trump asked him, "Okay, sit with you guys. It's seats empty." Then they invite Angela Merkel to sit over, played by Kate McKinnon.
Merkel.
I wrote Merkin. What the hell was I thinking? Jesus,
it's Merkel.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm not politically savvy. What do you want from me? So yeah, so Angela Merkel sits with them, and you're.
No, I'm thinking about, you know what a Merkin is.
I do.
Google it, folks. Yeah,
Not at work. Don't do it at work.
No, do it at work.
Yeah.
Do it at work.
Right. Yeah, do it at work. Call your boss over. Yeah. And I'm sure it'll go fine.
Just Google Merkins for sale.
Yes.
On your work computer. Do not go into anonymous mode.
Yeah.
Just do that.
It'll be fine.
Send the link to your boss.
Yeah.
Said, I saw this and thought of you. And,
Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll definitely have your job That'll by the good. End of the day.
Yeah.
So then, I mean, there wasn't much to discuss. So then at the Angela Merkel sits with them, and then they all still
make... You said it again.
God damn it! Angela Merkel sits with them. They all make fun of Trump. They kind of freeze frame it, and then Cecily Strong comes out as...
At Melania.
As Melania... And, you know,
she gives an anti-bullying statement. She says, like, please don't bully people, especially when they're president. It's not nice. He'd never do it to you. Also, Peloton, are you a scared woman in a big mansion who wants to get away, bike away from it all?
Yeah. And
Peloton.
Right. Which is, of course, it's a nod to the kind of controversy, quote unquote, around that Peloton ad.
Yeah. Which has been running for weeks.
Yeah.
But people just got outraged about it. Just now, which I don't get.
Sometimes outrage takes a while.
I guess,
yeah. And then, of course, you know, Live from New York, Saturday Night. I mean, I don't know. Like, I think I'm where you're at, where, like, them leaning on celebrity cameos and whatnot.
It's become such a crutch.
Like, I get surprised when there's not celebrity cameos.
Yeah, that's become the exception. I mean, a celebrity cameo coming on, that should be like a treat and a surprise. And now it's expected. And
it's the norm.
Yeah, it's the norm. And it makes the SNL cast members supporting players on their own show.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have people in your cast who could play these people. Right. I am sure of it.
So let them do it. It kind of reminds me, like, do you remember, like throughout the, you know, 60s, 70s, and 80s, whenever they put out an animated movie, like a cartoon movie, they'd have doing the voices were just, you know, voice over people who are trained to act throughout their voices.
Right. And now it's stunt casting.
Yeah. Like,
for the most part.
Yeah. Like, ever since, like, It changed kind of like when Robin Williams did Aladdin.
Yeah, that was probably the paradigm shift.
Yeah, and he then, like, ever since he did that, like, that was a huge hit. So, like, now every time you see an animated movie, it's all celebrities, all people famous for things other than voiceover work.
Yeah, and it's probably become an in thing for celebrities to do. And I'm sure, I see why SNL is doing it, because if you do that, you get like a little item in the Hollywood Reporter Variety the next day, like, look who showed up on Saturday Night Live last night. And you don't get that if you just do a regular sketch with a regular cast. But
you can't. But that's the thing too. Like you can't do it every time, especially.
No, I mean it's not special anymore.
Yeah, then it's just like it's something you can just like. Oh, James Corden took down Trump and Boris Blah. It's not even a takedown. Like the whole sketch was kind of like there wasn't any bite to it. Really, it was just kind of
no.
It was just kind of hey, look, we got their celebrities here.
Yeah,
and then like they didn't even really have anything to say. It was just
yeah,
blah.
Yeah,
blah. Just
yeah. So
that's what we think.
So that was the opening. Does not bode well for the evening.
Yeah. So
next we have the monologue. We had Jennifer Lopez. She comes out in a tux.
Tuxedo.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, that tux is a little bulky. I'm sure it's like a breakaway thing. She's going to do some costume change.
You know your breakaway clothes.
I do. I do. I go to Chippendales every week just to study the breakaway clothing.
Adrian, Barney.
Yeah.
Everybody is
but
working.
This was apparently Jennifer Lopez's fourth time on the show. She first hosted in February 2001. She was back in February 2010, and she was a musical guest in February 2000.
Oh, so yeah, because I thought this was her third time hosting. So she was just a musical guest that.
She's been on as a host and then a musical guest on the same episode twice, according to SNL Wiki. So
all right.
And then she's made a cameo.
Okay.
So.
All right.
So she has some history with the show.
Yes. She's done this before.
Mm-hmm.
Not
her first rodeo.
Yes.
And she was talking about, you know, I've had a really good year. I had a hit movie. I'm engaged. I was proposed to by a Yankee.
What every girl from the Bronx dreams of.
Right, right. And yeah, because she's engaged to A-Rod, which I honestly forgot.
I did too. I thought they got married already, I guess. No, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't keep up with the celebrity.
You don't have the J-Lo newsletter?
No.
The J-Lo Gazette?
No.
All right. Well.
Yeah. And then she when she did the breakaway tux thing, she was wearing her Oscars dress.
Yes, the green dress.
The green dress, the infamous green dress.
Yeah, and they also
not infamous, but
infamous.
Yeah.
And she also mentioned that she turned 50. And then once that happened, Beck Bennett was like, "She's 50," and like his head exploded. And
that was cute.
Yeah, that was nice, so cute.
That was cute, and that the effects were very well done. I don't know. I guess they green screened back in or something like that.
I think so.
You'd have to do that in advance. I don't see how you could possibly do that effect live because his head literally exploded like a balloon, and
right.
There was confetti.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing.
It was. nothing against Beck. We'd be sad if your head actually exploded.
Yeah,
as a gag on the show, this was very funny.
For tits and giggles, it's great.
Yes,
but then J Lo saying Santa Claus is coming to town.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Rockettes came out.
The Rockettes. I'm assuming they were the real Rockettes.
Yeah, I mean you can't get any faux Rockettes, can you?
Andy Kaufman did.
He did?
Yeah, on his Carnegie Hall show.
Those weren't the real rock.
No.
Those are like the second
No, he
tier?
Just got dancers and he said, yeah, these are the Rockettes. Because why pay for the real Rockettes if you can just.
Get some bargain basement. Can you do that? Can you get
if you're Andy Kaufman, hell yes.
All right. If you have to clap.
What? Was Andy Kaufman afraid to lie to his audience?
What?
No.
I can't deceive you people. Well, no, I thought like the. I just thought like the Rockettes thing was like copyrighted or
it
something.
It probably is. I mean, I would think that there would. That would be,
yeah.
Not outright illegal. That's at least on legal sketchy ground.
Yeah, you don't want the Rockettes law team to come after.
No,
you.
No, right. they like come into court like kicking up and down.
they're
all wearing like blazers and mini skirts and carrying briefcases.
Men and women, equally.
Yes, yes. Because can men be Rockettes?
Sure. What Rockos?
Yeah. There's probably been some dude who like sued who was like, why can't I be a Rockette?
That's right. Maybe. But, wow. We're uncovering some great ground here.
I don't know. But anyway, they had the Rockettes, and she wore the green Oscar dress.
So. Yeah, and it's a nice little monologue, I guess. It was all right. Okay.
Yeah. Shrug.
Indifferent shrug.
Indifferent shrug.
That's... Let the record show.
Yeah.
Indifferent shrug.
I shrugged, and then I was like, oh, right, audio medium, that didn't show up at all. I should say that I shrugged.
Such a strong shrug. I think it came across the microphones. People were like, I felt that shrug.
But then, we got our first sketch, HGTV's Surprise Home Makeover Holiday Edition, with Keenan as the
HGTV guy.
The host. I don't think he was playing a real host.
No, he's some made up.
Because I'm almost positive there are not any black people on HGTV.
No, they don't allow it.
Yeah. I watched a very Brady renovation. I don't think I saw any brothers on there.
Yep. Brothers?
Can I say brothers?
Yeah, I like it. Weed, it's hilarious.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, no brothers in there. It's like, when did he get all jive? Holy hell. Jeez.
Has brothers crossed over to white people? Am I allowed to use that?
No, I'll allow it. Okay. I'll mention at the next meeting.
All right.
I'll smooth things over.
Okay. Thank you.
But yeah. So Keenan is the host. He goes into this house, surprises this couple, saying, yeah, okay, we're going to renovate your house. And the couple is J-Lo and Mikey Day. And basically the whole gag is how super attractive J-Lo is and how like average, not attractive Mikey Day is.
Yeah. And then and more details on this come out over the course of the sketch. And it's like, wait a minute. She asked you to marry her?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. And after the third time, I finally said yes. And
yeah. And they're all what?
And Keenan's just flabbergasted. And then we find out he's into Smurfs.
Yeah.
And late in the sketch, we find out he has a Smurf tramp stamp.
Smurf life
with a picture of a Smurf.
Right.
They did this before with, I believe it was when Margot Robbie hosted, where Mikey Day played a guy who was, and she was like light years out of his league. They did it as a newscast.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of that Chance the Rapper sketch where Chance like interviewed the guy who was like the video game champ.
Uh-huh. Like that. Oh, and he didn't know anything about the video games.
Yeah, and like he's like he just like what's happening here? He's like just so confused about how like none of this made sense. That's the vibe I got.
Yeah,
but yeah, as the sketch goes on, we learn that Mikey Day's character is unemployed, and then they call in Beck Bennett to see talk about what they're going to do to the place. And I think Beck Bennett says, well, because J-Lo's character's name is Jacqueline. It's like, because Jacqueline is visually impaired, we're going to have some things around.
Yeah, that was cute.
Yeah. And she was like, no, I can see fine. I was like, oh, is this like a green card thing? Then what's going on here?
Yeah.
And he has like and Mikey Day has like a rollerblade collection. And just, this big old, just shots at him being this big old nerd. Even Bo and Yang comes in at one point,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't understand it, and he's like, all right, excuse me, I just gotta do one thing real quick. And he grabs Mikey J's junk. It's like, yeah, no, it's average size. I don't understand what's going on. It was fine. I got,
yeah.
You look like you want to say something else.
No, I think about covers it.
Yeah. I mean, Keenan gives it his all. He's like,
yeah, it wasn't horrible. It wasn't, it wasn't great. It was just sort of there in the middle. I didn't feel like this had a whole lot of surprises for me because I'd basically seen this sketch already when Margot Robbie hosted a few years ago.
Right.
So
yeah, it just kind of had that one joke. It was just hitting over and over again.
Yeah,
like he's a nerd. He's unattractive. She's
out of his league.
Yeah, and she doesn't see it, and none of this makes sense.
Yeah,
and they just kind of
wish I don't know.
Like some type
I wish
turn.
That there'd been some more other further twist on it.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to revisit something, you should try to put a new spin on it.
Yeah, you should.
I don't know what that spin could have been, but...
But it wasn't here.
Yeah. So it was... So next we had a film segment, Chad and J-Lo.
The Roadie.
With Pete Davidson returning as Chad. Okay.
Hilarious. So yeah, basically in this one, J-Lo is, she's doing a sound check. She's like rehearsing for her big show. Chad is a roadie and she spots Chad and like is infatuated with him. Like,
and he
else
doesn't does. Really know who she is.
Right. It's like, do you know who I am? No.
Yeah.
Like, I'm J-Lo. Oh, okay. And yeah. And
yeah.
You know, he giggles at, like, because she mentions she's engaged to A-Rod. He giggles at the word Rod.
Uh-huh.
He plays for the Yankees. He giggles at the word yank. Then A-Rod comes out and with flowers.
Yeah,
and he
little
sees,
cameo.
We get some A-Rod and we see them kissing. And or no, she puts the moves on Chad, and A-Rod's like, oh, I can't compete with Chad.
Yeah, she's like questioning her whole engagement.
Yeah, and I don't know. That's all I wrote.
I'd be very happy if we never see Chad again.
Yeah. I mean, people like him. Like,
how? I mean, he's a character who, his basic definition is he's indifferent to most everything. So how do you get excited about that character?
I don't know. Maybe you find it charming, his indifference. I don't.
I never thought it was cute a time or two, but at this point, I mean, how am I supposed to react in any way besides how Chad reacts to everything?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I mean, the first time I saw Chad's sketch, I felt the same way Chad felt. Like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. It's kind of one note.
And then they did it again. You're like, oh, they're doing this again.
Yeah.
And
they're doing it again.
Do you think there's anybody out there who's like, oh, yes, they're doing another Chad sketch.
Hot damn, Chad again.
You know, like Stefan, people got hyped for Stefan. Yeah. They were excited when they saw Stefan.
Yeah, people dress as Stefan for Halloween.
Yeah.
I've never seen a Chad.
No. Yeah, he's just a dude.
Just a dumb dude that says okay and, you know, has a glassy look in his eyes.
It's just, by its definition, it's a monotonous sketch, so...
Yeah, like, this sketch, I don't know. Like, so, already, I'm like...
So, already, I'm feeling down on this show.
Yeah, this is like, ooh.
So, next we had what SNL is titling The Corporal on YouTube. They intro'd it as, now we return to 1955's What Do You Figure Is Going On in That House?
Right.
And we have... Kate and Adie as two sisters, and J-Lo as the third sister.
Right.
Who, the colonel is coming around to the house, and they're all excited, and they want to look their best for him.
Right.
And J-Lo is playing, she's decked out sort of like in a Marilyn Monroe type dress, like a sparkly dress, and she's all, ooh, oh my.
And that's great.
Thank you. I pride myself on my Marilyn Monroe impression. But her sisters, J-Lo's sisters, have convinced her that she's hideous.
Right.
And that she should be hidden away. And
right. And I mean, I think this whole thing was like a play on Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, right?
Maybe. I've never seen Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. I just know of it, so...
Me neither. I just saw it online. I was trying to play it off like I was
I
smart.
I could see that from what I know about that movie, but I don't know for sure.
Okay. But yeah, it's like a black and white movie, and the whole sketch is like them... telling their sister J-Lo that she's hideous and she needs to hide away from the corporal, you know, even though she's J-Lo and she's a knockout. And
at this point, I was like, okay, so is every single sketch tonight going to be about how beautiful J-Lo is?
Because
we've had three in a row.
We did. And the monologue. She's 50?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a bit much. I mean, yes, she is a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
But do we need to say it for four segments in a row?
I guess so. I guess it's in her contract. It's like, it's in my contract. I need to be told in every sketch how amazing
I guess. I mean, apparently she's a diva or something. Yeah, and
I guess so. So, I mean, also later on in the sketch, they have her kiss a lobster and because she doesn't know what men look like. And they've convinced her that men are small and lobsters.
And she has a shellfish allergy. And it makes her lips swell because everything they're trying to do to make her seem undesirable and unattractive just ends up making her look more attractive.
Exactly.
They're like, oh, go hide in this cage. And then she's like grabbing onto the bars and like dancing.
Yeah, she's like rubbing the bars up and down.
Right. And they're like, oh, no, stop doing that. That's, yeah.
And she like, and I think they take a gun and shoot at her, but they like, kind of shoot her top off by accident.
I don't even remember that.
And then at one point, like the corporal, Beck Bennett, comes in. And he says, yeah, her, I want her.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And that's the end of
I did
sketch.
Like he immediately just went, yeah, I want her.
That was funny.
That was cute. The payoff was pretty good. I just didn't, I thought the sketch itself was pretty dire.
It seems like it was like another one of those sketches where it's just like Kate and Adie just kind of amusing themselves.
Yeah, it was very mannered and very,
it didn't, it didn't have much to really go on. Or
if it hadn't followed two other things that were just beating us over the head with, like, oh my god, isn't she beautiful?
She's so pretty.
Yeah. And it's.
Yeah. It was just kind of beating a dead horse at this
point. Yeah. It's like, I don't want every sketch to be hitting the same note. And that's what it felt like at this point in the show. It was like, I remember like when Betty White hosted, everybody was very excited about that. But every sketch was just like, oh, it's an old lady saying outrageous things.
Yeah, that's
and that gets old.
It does.
You know?
No pun intended.
I mean, when you're hitting the same premise every time. I mean, the strength of SNL is that it's a variety show.
Exactly.
You're supposed to do different things.
A variety of different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Betty White was on, I was like, oh, it's an old lady saying vagina. Hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, look, old people saying vagina is hilarious. I won't deny you that.
Yeah, but an hour and a half of nothing but old people saying vagina?
Yeah.
You're like, a little tired by the end of
who
it.
Who else can say vagina?
Exactly.
Let's think outside the box, people.
We have a diverse cast. Let everyone say vagina.
Yeah. Everyone gets a vagina. You get a vagina. You get a vagina. So the next sketch. Them Trumps.
Them Trumps rally, which is the what if sketch, what if Donald Trump was black,
right,
with Kenan as Darius Trump.
Right.
And he's having a rally in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And this one went on a little longer than the other Them Trump sketches.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised about the length of it.
And then he goes out to speak to the people, and then he starts getting pelted with fruit as soon as he says that he's black.
Yeah, but even, like, they can see he's black.
Yeah, because apparently people didn't realize until he said it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And then he said he was going to make America swag again, MASA.
Yeah.
Which like, I don't know if that was like...
Oh, jeez, I didn't even get that.
I didn't even know if that was like a Massa reference.
Holy crap.
Yeah, was that like...
That went totally over my head.
Yeah, because like he said he was going to make America swag again, and then people were holding up, you know, instead of MAGA signs, were holding up Massa signs.
Did they say Massa?
I think they said MASA. Yeah, I think it said MASA on them.
Oh, wow.
I was like, are they trying to say something? What are they trying to say? I was like, So then he gives a speech saying how amazing he is. Then he mentions he's black, then everybody turns on him. Mm-hmm. Cut to credits.
Yeah.
And it...
This didn't work like the other Them Trumps.
It works when it's shorter.
The other ones were like 30 seconds long.
Right.
Where it was like, oh, we're getting pulled over. Oh, you're getting arrested. Oh, yeah, I saw that coming. And then the credits roll. And that was funny just because it was so unexpected. Now we know that pattern.
Yeah.
So I guess they were trying to break it up by going longer with it, but it doesn't really work longer.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. It's like the MacGruber sketches in a way.
Yeah.
Like how, you know, it's MacGruber trying to defuse the bomb. Something happens. Boom, right. Explosion. It's like, you know, do the gag in and out. And even though it hits the same beats and you know where it's going, like, it's short enough that it doesn't become tiresome.
Yeah, I mean, you can be funny with something expected,
right,
like MacGruber, and half the humor of MacGruber after a while became through that repetition. But
absolutely.
But Them Trumps, it feels like they monkeyed with the formula enough, it just didn't work this time around.
Which
really surprised me.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Because they did it, like, what, twice before?
Yes.
Okay.
Two or three times, yeah.
Two or three times.
And like, and each of those times, it was fine.
They were really quick, strong things.
Right.
And,
I mean, the fact that it was longer, I thought they were going to do something different with it. It's like, oh, it's going a little bit longer. Maybe they have a new angle. And it's like,
no. Or during a really long setup for the quick,
But then it was like, oh, no, it's just the same thing. They just went longer for
some reason. It was weird. I don't know why they messed with that.
Curious. Curiouser and curiouser.
Okay, next we have our musical guest for the week, DaBaby.
DaBaby.
Is DaBaby somebody you follow?
No.
Me neither.
Not at all. I know he's a rapper. He did two songs on this show.
Uh-huh. The first song was Bop, but it's all in caps, so maybe it's B-O-P. I'm not sure.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Or maybe it's just really aggressive. Bop!
You think it's like a onomatopoeia, like in the old Bat... Is it onomatopoeia?
Yeah. Onomatopoeia, yeah.
The old Batman...
Yeah.
Okay. There it is.
Yeah. Maybe he was like, I've got to differentiate this from Hanson's Mbop. So it's going to be Bop, all caps.
Exclamation mark.
So yeah, he comes out, he's like, he's kind of strutting, and he's got a lot of his backup dancers circling all around him.
Yeah, the woman walking on her hands and shaking her behind.
Yeah, she walked on her hands and shimmied her butt cheeks at the camera.
Yeah, so that was there.
And DaBaby was, she puts her legs in a V, and he sticks his head in between.
Oh.
And I'm making this sound... Somehow I'm making this sound more suggestive than it was, and it was pretty suggestive.
Yeah,
this
sounds randy.
She's walking on her hands and shimmying her butt cheeks at the camera.
Oh, jeez. It's a family show, man.
It's a talent.
They had the it's weird because they had the dance crew, the Jabberwockies, come out.
That was the crew from America's Got Talent, right?
Yeah, yeah. They wear the face mask, and I really like them. They're really talented, but they didn't really do anything.
They come out towards the end, and then they didn't really do anything.
So I was like, why are you there if you're not going to dance?
Yeah,
man? That's your thing.
It was weird.
Yeah.
What do you think they and the Rockettes talked about backstage?
Ooh, talk about like dance moves and whatnot.
Yeah. I want to see that conversation.
It's like, what shoes do you wear when you go out there?
Yeah.
You know, how do your heels...
Do you stretch before you go out? What do you do? How do you warm up?
Do you guys do head spins, Rockettes?
I want to see the Jabberwockies and the Rockettes just talking shop.
I did not think about that. Wow,
I just thought of that right now.
Huh. Wow, this is... This is interesting stuff here. But yeah, I mean,
missed opportunity, SNL. Just saying.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah. So they did the bop, and the next song they did was a Suge.
Is that about Suge Knight?
I believe so. I mean, when he came out, he was wearing like a red shirt, which is what Suge Knight does, because he's part of the Bloods and he's all muscle bound. And
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, both of these performances.
DaBaby is kind of jacked too.
I don't. Was that like a padded shirt, or was that?
I don't know. I don't know if he's like just super jacked because he's like. He's like really huge, and then he's got just these like skinny legs,
itty bitty legs.
Yeah,
I didn't. Yeah,
he looked like he'd been drawn by Bruce Timm in the DC animated universe. He's got the big torso, and then the thin legs.
That is the deepest of Bruce Timm. That is the deepest of deep cuts, sir.
Well,
holy moly!
I know a few geeks who will get this. Okay, so.
That's for you geeks.
If you get it, hat tip, you got the obscure joke of the week.
Yeah. But I mean, it seemed like in both of these performances, there was like a lot going on that was like maybe just like distract you from the rap. Like,
and he brought the shimmying ass woman back too. Yeah, in his second number. I was like, whoa, we're going to that well again.
Yeah.
Okay.
if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And then the Jabberwockies came back, but
they didn't really do much. Like, that really bugged me. Like, they didn't have the dancers dance. Like, what the flip?
I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, there was just like so much going on. It was like people dancing and bopping. And
it was a spectacle, but
yeah. And I guess a rapper was there that said a few things.
Yeah,
it was.
I honestly don't have much to say about the song itself.
Me neither.
I couldn't really follow the lyrics or.
It was just like circus. I just couldn't. It was whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So that's our take on DaBaby.
Our cutting edge take.
That's right.
DaBaby, who neither one of us were familiar with.
And still not.
I was like, oh, Darren's a hip-hop guy. He'll know about this guy. He'll take up the slack for me. No.
Nope. If it's not Fushnickens or whatever. I just don't. It's not Heavy D and the Boys.
Fushnickens?
You don't remember Fushnickens from the
90s? No, I don't.
Oh, that's a deep cut from my hip-hop head. See, you have your Bruce Timm.
I have the DCAU nerds. You got the hip-hop heads.
That's right.
And
we got it all covered.
Yeah.
Our little sloth of the world. Sloth? Of the world, I don't know.
Swatch?
Swath, that's it.
Yeah, swath. Swath.
Swashish.
Swath.
Swath. Swath.
What was the name of that brand of watch from the 80s?
Swatch.
Swatch, that was it. Swatch. Okay, that's what I was trying to think of.
Those watches were cool. Right. Weekend update. Oh, yeah.
Weekend update with Colin Jost and Michael Che.
Che. And, it wasn't too bad. I'm very...
Most of my critique of this episode is just going to be nonverbal.
I mean, he had a couple. Joe's had a couple good. Like, he talked about how Trump said that Trudeau was two-faced, and then Joe's like, "Oh yeah, I've seen his other face, and it's him in blackface."
Yeah, yeah. I've seen even him the audience have at least two faces.
And, yeah, even the audience at that joke was like, ooh.
"Yeah." And Che was like, "Oh, Colin coming in hot."
Yeah, he's edgy now,
and
he's dangerous.
And there was a thing where. At a press conference this week, Nancy Pelosi was asked, do you hate Donald Trump? And she said, as a Catholic, I don't hate anyone. And Colin just said, as a Catholic, I know there's always one person you hate, yourself.
Right.
That's a pretty good line.
Yeah, and then he had the other backup line about how, I forget what he said, like most Catholic, like most Catholics, they would have had Trump... transfer to a different presidency.
You wouldn't impeach, you would quietly move him to a different presidency.
I thought that was a good line.
Yeah.
That was all right. And so then after that, what else? We had Pelosi come out, played by Kate McKinnon.
Yep.
And she was doing prayers for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bless Lindsey Graham with a baby that's black and gay.
Yeah. The joke there was all her prayers for Trump were all very passive aggressive. And then Colin calls her out on that at one point. And she's like, no, some of these are just aggressive. One of the others was place a curse on him, like the movie Liar, Liar. He has to tell the truth for 1 week. Come on, Lord. Even you know that'd be funny. And this was okay.
It's all right.
There was a weird thing after Colin introed her. She said, thank you for the lively debate, Breitbart Ryan Seacrest.
I didn't get that.
And I didn't get, are you calling Colin Breitbart Ryan Seacrest, or was that a comment on the reporter who asked her the question about, do you hate Donald Trump? And I'm honestly not sure which it was, or which it was supposed to be. It was very unclear to me.
Yeah, cause, I mean, I could, I mean, Yeah, I was really kind of confused.
I mean, I could see comparing Colin Jost to Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, but Breitbart, Ryan
Seacrest? Yeah, but the Breitbart thing I don't really get because...
Because he's
not like an alt-right guy.
That we know of.
Well, I mean, he's made so many jokes at Trump's expense.
Yeah, that's true.
He's engaged to Scarlett Johansson, who's a lefty.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah.
I'm assuming... Politically, he probably leans to the left.
I would assume so. So like that. So then it must be for the other person, right?
There's yeah, I songs. Guess. But
it didn't.
You're addressing somebody who's not there. It was just a weird muddled joke. It didn't really go over.
Yeah, I think the audience was even like, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it confused us all.
It passed quickly, but it was yeah.
It was there just enough to confuse us.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a thing she did, and then they had like some more jokes about the Peloton ad.
Yeah.
About they're happy that Peloton didn't keep their previous taglines like "You better keep it tighter than the babysitter," and yep. Ooh,
that was
biting.
That was a note I made in my notes. I wrote Peloton joke hack.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
I've noticed that there's this weird formula to Weekend Update now. It's like Colin tells a joke, and if it bombs or gets pity laughs, then Che starts laughing at how badly it did. Because there's nothing funnier than seeing your friend bomb.
Oh, it's hilarious. I look forward to it.
Because comedians are horrible people.
Yep.
But it seems to happen at least once a Weekend Update now.
It does, yeah.
Even if Colin has some good lines, like the ones we noted earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
He has some others that are just like, why did you go with that?
I don't
and then,
know.
Yeah, it gets...
They got a deadline, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. Well, hey, maybe this will make you happier. At the end of the at the end of the Weekend Update, they had Beck Bennett come out as Jules, who sees things just a little differently. why are you? Okay, scaring the hell out of me. You all right, man?
This fucking character, man.
It's an acquired taste.
I've gone off on this character before. I mean, it's. Like, there's a difference between the character being obnoxious to the people around him and the audience finding the character obnoxious. And I find this character obnoxious and not in a funny way, you right. know?
He's not obnoxious in a way that, like, guy who just bought a boat is.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Or the Instagram couple. Or,
right.
This character, I want to reach into the TV and.
Oh, no.
And just.
Oh, okay, you know, like pimp slap,
yeah,
like Dolomite, not Dolomite, but like a pimp,
yeah,
who slaps,
yeah,
okay,
yeah, titties and kung fu,
yes,
and yeah, he has a unique take on the holidays. The only line I wrote down from this was, "I'm not allowed in the house anymore because of a cocaine misunderstanding." That's a funny line. I just still don't like this character.
Yeah, he's not, and he says, "Santa, free your elf slaves." I think at some point, why can't we have a why do we have to celebrate, you know, Christmas? Why can't we celebrate other holidays like Easter, but for Latino women and call it Sheaster? That was something he said.
And I'm remaining diplomatically silent.
Okay.
Yes.
Next sketch.
Next
sketch. Hip hop carolers.
Yes, we had a family at Christmas. And then a bunch of carolers come to the front door.
Right.
They let them into the house for some reason.
Because that's what you do with carolers.
Who lets carolers into their house?
I'm
just like, did you just build this set and then not want to play the sketch at the doorstep?
Yeah, don't you just build an outdoorsy area?
Yeah. So they're singing all this hip-hop stuff. They sang Ghetto Superstar.
Yeah, because their thing is they're like a hip-hop carolers, but they only sing... hip-hop songs from the late 90s and early aughts.
Okay, did they say... they said that, okay.
Yeah, yeah, they mentioned that. So then they sang hip-hop carol, but like in the vein of like a song by City High, which is a deep cut. I'm surprised they even mentioned the group City High. Then they sang Ghetto Superstar, and then they sang Bone Thugs and Harmony's Crossroads, but they put in some Christmas words in those songs, and they mentioned Home Alone in them to make it more Christmassy. And and like that, as they were doing that, then they also let it be known that Like they had while they
DaBaby.
While they were singing, DaBaby was actually robbing their house.
And DaBaby is playing himself.
Yeah.
And he comes out and he was robbing the house while they were caroling. And then they tell them because who tells somebody right after you've robbed their house before you've left their house? Because
you've already robbed the house. What can they do? Like you've won. So you just you brag and you leave and you sing fucking Crossroads as you go. Yeah, and it's this wasn't a great sketch.
No.
I mean, and plus even if one thing there's a lot of things wrong with this sketch just because like for one thing
it's for starters, you let the carolers into your house. A thing that no one does ever.
Maybe parts of Canada? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. If you know the carolers.
John Murray, tweet at us. Let us know what they do up there.
Yeah, please. Our friend John Murray from the SNL After Party. Let us know how they do the Christmas Carol thing in Canada.
Yeah, in the Great White North. Do you let strangers into your home
You're trusting up there. I saw Fahrenheit...
9/11?
What was it?
411?
The Bowling for Columbine. That was the gun control Michael Moore movie.
Yeah, you don't lock your doors. You probably leave your car doors open.
Yeah.
You know.
You let strangers borrow your car and go shopping.
Oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I did. Never going to hear from the Canadian listeners.
My God. Oh, man. The Canucks are not going to like this.
No, they're not.
But, yeah. Another thing I didn't like about the sketch, because like it very much leaned on the fact that you kind of knew the songs that they were singing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Bone Thugs and Harmony, Crossroads, City High, What Would You Do? And... Mm-hmm.
Ghetto Superstar.
Like,
that was the main one I knew.
Yeah, like if you didn't know any of those songs, like this whole thing was lost on you. It's like one of the, that one sketch when Kristen Stewart was on.
Uh-huh.
It all leaned on the fact you knowing Genuine's Pony. Remember with the stomach grumbling?
Yeah, you got that one a lot more than I did because I wasn't familiar with what they were referencing.
Yeah, they're referencing Pony by Genuine, which you know, in the Magic Mike movie. So if you didn't know that song, you didn't have that. Oh, I know that song, and like. Enjoy it on like a nostalgia level.
Right.
And the same thing with this sketch. If you don't know any of these songs so you can enjoy it on a nostalgia level, the whole sketch is like, what?
Yeah. So, Ghetto Superstar is like, hey, it's a song from Bullworth.
Yeah. So, I mean, this sketch was... It's pretty weak.
Next, we had a fake commercial but a live sketch, Hoops, hosted by Gino's girlfriend and her cousin.
Yeah.
I like that they were only identified by those names. So it was J-Lo and Melissa Villaseñor.
Right.
I don't think we'd really seen much of until this point.
Yeah, not until this point.
I might be forgetting. But they're basically, it's like an infomercial for hoop earrings. And they're like, do you need an earring that says, I fight other women? Do you want bracelets but on the side of your head? they're just talking about hoop earrings.
Yeah, made from 100% metal.
Yes, that'll turn your ears the color of money.
Yeah. So you get the hoop earrings that say things like "Daddy's little girl," "Daddy's big bitch," and "diabetic." You know, let your earlobes get married to your shoulders.
And Alex Moffat comes on as Uncle Johnny, who's like dark hair, leather jacket, and they're like, "Hey, where did these hoop earrings come from?" And he goes, "Don't worry about it."
Yeah.
So
it's like, oh, she looks nice, like a rapper's accountant. This sketch, I thought, was okay. This had, like, some nice little lines in it.
It was okay. By this point, I was just pretty down on the show.
I kind of wish they put this sketch, like, a little bit further up in the show. Like,
yeah.
Like, this sketch at least has something. It's like, it has has some clever lines, and it did. And it has, like, some kind of idea.
And they played it well. I mean, they were,
Melissa was good. This sketch was like, oh, this is all right.
It was J-Lo bringing her Jenny from the block out, you know.
Yes, of course.
Where is she from originally? The Bronx?
Yeah.
The Bronx? Okay.
BX all day.
All right.
Yeah. Used to have a little, now she has a lot.
Okay.
Don't be fooled by the rocks that she's got.
And then...
That's a song.
Yeah. And then Ben Affleck admiring her ass.
Yes. That's all in the video.
They actually put a shot of that in the video. Of just him like, hey, look at this ass.
Damn. What's up, girl?
Doesn't that feel like a million years ago?
It really does.
When Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez were a thing.
Yeah, it feels like a whole lifetime ago, but like, it wasn't that long ago, right? It's like 01, maybe? 02,
early aughts.
Yeah.
I feel like
if somebody was born around the time that happened, they'd be like in probably college, man.
I mean, it was around when the movie, or a little before when the movie Geely came out.
Ugh, simpler times.
Which, We were more innocent then.
Yeah. Oh, were we ever
before that natural tragedy?
Oof. Never forget. So anyway.
Next we had a film segment, another fake ad.
Yeah.
Potty PM.
Yeah.
Which is...
it's like a Kyle Mooney joint.
Yeah. With Kyle Mooney, he's a guy who wants to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, but it's really cold and the toilet seems so far away. Is it weird that we've done a second sketch about going to the bathroom secretly? Because they had that one like a couple years ago where you could go to the bathroom in your office and it was like a potted plant.
Oh,
and
wow.
And then they noticed your office is filled with the potted plants and they're like, wait, why does it smell in here? Do you remember that?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
Maybe the writers, because they got to write these things up all night and uh-huh. then they're up and they're like, oh, I really have to pee, but I got to finish this script. Hey, wait a minute. Why don't I write about peeing in secret or in the office?
I have
maybe
heard,
it comes from that.
I have heard that there was some SNL writer who would like pee in jars and like keep that in their office.
Just like as well, like a to spruce up the office? Why
I don't know if it was a laziness thing or a being gross thing or
yeah.
what. But yeah, maybe. Do you think this is part of the culture at 30 Rock of people like going to the bathroom secretly
just and peeing in jars and Gatorade bottles?
Yeah,
just leaving it scattered about like Easter eggs.
I don't know. It just seems like having two different sketches that are fake commercials about going to the bathroom secretly. That seems like a lot, right?
Yeah.
Like one pretty much covers that comedic territory.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. But maybe it's a thing like where they. Yeah, you write a sketch, you got to pee, and before you know it, you're writing about a sketch peeing.
Yeah, maybe.
Or peeing in a sketch. I don't know.
I don't know. And I, you know, I honestly, I liked this one.
This one was good.
This
yeah.
one was all right. This was...
Because it had the little twist, which I didn't see coming.
Yeah, because we should explain a little more. So the product that they're selling, it's Potty PM, and it's a hose that you hooked up to yourself, and it yeah. runs to the toilet. So you don't have to get out of bed to...
Right, to pee. So
to pee.
To yourself.
And then J-Lo comes in and she says, oh, that sounds great. How does it work for women? And Kyle is very flustered and he's like,
Yeah, and it becomes very apparent that Kyle doesn't know how women use the bat. She doesn't, he doesn't understand how women's
He only has bodies. A vague idea of how women urinate.
Yes, exactly. And there's like a chart up and like of a woman, it says something about like, her Filipino tubes, and like he's just like, oh, you know, the pee comes and out it, the urethra.
Yeah, and the cursor's like kind of floating around her midsection. It's like he doesn't quite know where to point.
He doesn't know how a woman's body works.
Right, right. Like, and then
I mean, who does?
I'm sorry, I'm shrugging a lot in this episode.
A lot of shrugging.
I'm at a loss for words with a lot of these things. I thought that was a funny turn where. He doesn't know enough about women's private parts to know how this product would hook up or possibly work on them.
That's very true.
And then finally she just says, maybe it's just something for guys. And he's like, yeah, it's just for guys.
yeah, it's just for us, yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, and this was a good sketch. Yeah. This is like something that had a definite ending, had a nice little twist to it, and which I didn't see coming.
No.
It was.
I mean, it's always nice when a sketch surprises you. And
very much so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I like this one.
So, this for me, sketch of the night. I think this would have been... This didn't blow me away, but I think it would have been fine in a better show. And maybe it could have been earlier, but maybe because of the subject matter, they didn't want to put it too early in the show.
Of peeing?
Yeah, pee-pee? I don't know.
That's not racy. Is it that racy for younger viewers?
I don't know. It's scatological.
I guess so.
I don't know.
I guess so.
I'm just theorizing here.
Yeah, you don't want kids to know about a Filipino tubes.
Maybe it just didn't do as well at dress, and so they thought, well, we'll put it later in the show.
Yeah.
Or it's weird, we'll put it later in the show.
We got to put up that hip-hop calorillers thing.
That's the gold. I mean,
That's gold, Jerry, gold! All right, so this next sketch...
Okay, let me get it right.
Let's brace ourselves. So it was called.
That's good bourbon.
goes for relaxing times. Make it Suntory times.
Yes.
So this sketch is what's called Wisconsin.
Wisconsin Women, which is a hardware store. We got Kate, Cecily, and J-Lo as the managers of this Wisconsin
a hardware store, and Heidi and Alex as a couple who are visiting the area.
Right.
And they're picking up stuff. And this sketch got off to a weird start because it started off on the wrong camera shot for like a full 6 seconds.
It did.
And you just see Kate, Cicely, and J-Lo waiting for their cue. And I looked back and watched this again, and it looked like Cicely was like glancing to a monitor or something and probably realized that the camera was on them.
But yikes.
They don't have a line. Hear Alex and Heidi talking, right, and you just see three people sitting there waiting for their cue.
Yeah, it's and live television, people.
It's live television, and it's so unusual. This, when on the rare occasions this happens, it stands out so much because it hardly ever happens.
Yeah, it's very true.
I mean, the SNL camera people and the directors, they're very, very good at their job. So
yeah, sometimes they slip up. There's a goof up.
Yeah, and I looked on YouTube, and this is not the version that is on YouTube.
Okay, yeah, they fixed it.
Yeah, so they either fixed it or they put the dress version up.
Right.
I'm not sure which it was because I didn't rewatch the whole sketch. Yeah.
They fixed that part. I just wish they kind of fixed the rest of the sketch.
Okay. I mean,
can you explain the sketch? Like, what?
No.
I wrote down in big letters, what the hell is happening?
Maybe somebody visited family in Wisconsin for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And they had a weird experience at a hardware store and they decided to write about it when they came back.
I mean,
maybe,
but
I
like
no,
like I'm trying to figure out how I would describe the sketch.
I mean,
to
we
somebody.
we have three women behind the counter. One, I don't know why we need three women behind the counter.
Yeah, that's.
I mean,
that's a lot of women behind the
obviously
counter.
Obviously, you're going to write the host into the sketch,
right?
Was it just like, oh, Kate and Cicely are light this episode? Let's put them behind the counter too.
I guess. I mean, did.
And then,
did they need all three women?
And we had Chloe Fineman come in as Kimmy, who was she's wearing this long dark wig. They say her hair has never been cut. The tourist asks, "Oh, is she somebody's daughter?" And they say, "Oh no, she's nobody's daughter. She just came with a store." And they said, "This is kind of funny." They said she's the Rapunzel / Nell of the hardware store.
Yeah.
And then Heidi suddenly remembers. Oh, I left my Kato bar outside because I don't want people to know I eat. And there's a bear that wakes up because Heidi left the food out there.
Right.
And then Chloe's
character,
character Kimmy, goes out and then she's being mauled by a bear. It's a very weird sketch.
Yeah, and then like Heidi takes a selfie with the bear at the end.
Yeah, because she's some sort of vapid millennial.
Yeah, like. I did not understand any, like, I was so baffled. Like, I don't know
it's
what
a baffling sketch.
I don't know what they were going for. I don't, like, you can even hear the audience. The audience is like,
yeah,
what?
I mean, a lot of time, and I don't mind a weird sketch.
No, I'm fine with weird sketches, but I got to know where it's going or like the direction or like what you were going. Like, what were you going for? What were you aiming for? What's the joke here?
Yeah, this just seemed very random. And it was.
It seemed like an improv exercise. Like, it seemed like it was like a.
It was one of those improv scenes that doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah. It's like, all right, you run a store in Wisconsin. You're a millennial. You're a bear. Go. And it's like, what? It just.
Yeah, and everyone was kind of going in a different direction, and it was just very odd. And
I didn't understand any of it. Like, what? What was the point of this? What were you
trying
to do?
Yeah, when it finishes, you're just like, what was that?
What were you trying to do?
I don't.
Like,
yeah.
None of this makes any sense.
Yeah.
Oh!
So, last sketch, we had Barry's Boot Camp, which is this. They'd done this before.
Yeah, before it was in the David Harbour episode.
That's
it was
right.
Soul Cycle.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but now it's Barry's Boot Camp with J-Lo.
So, they're deciding on the new trainers, and so it's just a parade of people coming out as different characters, and they're all very odd and eccentric in different ways. And,
yeah.
And then we also have Ego and
Alex, right?
And he's hitting on her, and she's not having it because we feel the need to develop these characters for some reason.
I guess, yeah.
I
mean, and it's the same thing. It's like they're auditioning new trainers, and each Bowen comes up. His name is Amber, like the alert, and it's all of them kind of having a few jokes here and there.
Yeah, he said like O.J. Simpson got caught because he gave up. I mean, they're all like shouting these things. They're supposed to be like motivational things to drive you to work harder.
Like Beck Bennett said, like, have you guys ever been cheated on? It sucks. Ask my girlfriend.
Right. J-Lo comes out as her name was Patron. And she says, when I was born, I couldn't walk. And I'm sure she had something after that, but I didn't write down more because
it's such a quick parade of people. Did they mention how attractive she is in the sketch?
I think they did.
Did they really?
They probably did.
Well, I watched it, I don't even remember it. I'm sorry.
I think Heidi's character was playing kind of the same notes that she was playing in the David Harbour episode where she was like talking about how she her life has been tough because she's so beautiful.
Right, right. What's right?
She was playing some of the same notes.
It was pretty much the exact same thing as the Soul Cycle
from
before. And the Soul Cycle one was I think that type of sketch, I think it works depending on like the energy that the people put into it.
Like
David Harbour's energy, he was like that put it over a little bit more.
Well, also you need some clever lines. I mean, I liked what Bowen did. Bowen was like the first guy out.
Right.
And I liked the line of, you know, O.J. Simpson got caught because he gave up.
Right, right.
I mean, that's just a funny line.
It is a funny line.
And he sold it well. And then after that, I was just like, okay, now it's the parade of people again.
Yeah, but I really, like, this sketch should have been up earlier in the show. Like, there's no reason this should have been, like, the last sketch. It should have been up way, way, way ahead of,
at least
hip-hop carolers.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
But that's the show. I mean,
that's a show.
This was a big old sigh. This was not its best.
I'm not going to mince words. I thought this episode just pretty much flat out sucked. I was thinking about it. I think this might be the worst sketch or show we've done since
really?
We started the podcast.
Like ever?
I think so. I'm trying to think of a worse show than this.
The Steve Carell show episode?
The Steve Carell show, I remember, was disappointing, and yeah, that wasn't what it should have been, but...
Kristen Stewart episode?
I've already blanked on that Kristen Stewart episode.
There you go.
Mostly.
The Harry Styles one was... But yeah, this episode was... We got nothing, guys.
I thought was the Greta Van Fleet of SNL episodes.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I mean, it's good. It's good you're getting these bad sketches out of your systems before Eddie Murphy comes on in a couple weeks.
I think people are like kind of a little nervous now, like they're seeing this and like, is this what Eddie has to look forward to? Like, but I imagine maybe Eddie has like writers coming in for him.
I feel like he's got to be bringing some people in.
He has a team. He has some heat.
I mean, I felt pretty good about the Will Ferrell show. I thought that was a strong show overall.
I did too. I mean, people were kind of down on that, but I thought that was like had some really strong sketches in it.
I don't know. Maybe you ate too much turkey at Thanksgiving dinner and you have all the tryptophan flowing through your system. Maybe everybody was sleepy.
They're all high off the turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know.
I mean, the Potty PM sketch was good.
That was the only one I thought was all right.
I thought the hoops earring was okay.
Hoops was okay. Those were the two, but the rest just
everything else is
bag it.
This was a struggle.
Yeah.
All right. So so we put out the word to all our SNL nerdaholics or whatever we call our fans now.
Do we have names for our fans? I don't know.
Nerdigans? I don't know. We put out the word saying we were going to talk about this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody have any questions, comments, la di da. And we got a few here.
We got a few.
What do we got here?
Let's see, we got Ruby, the Rube, who said, "What sticks out to me is the Wisconsin sketch. It was fascinating to watch, but not necessarily for the right reasons. The audience is so hyped up nowadays that it's rare to see sketches die like that compared to previous eras." And then Bill Broski replied, "Most audience silence since Luke Null's classroom sketch."
Yeah, I still have like Vietnam flashbacks about that sketch because that was. That sketch was so weird.
I blocked that one out mostly. Well, I remember seeing it, but
it was like a sketch where like Luke Null was coming into a classroom. He's trying to be like a big man. He was like, "Hey, everybody, what's going on?" And like he came in, he hit the beats, he said all the lines and jokes. Literally nothing.
Yeah.
Like not even like a pity laugh from the audience. It was awkward. Yeah. I was sweating.
Yeah.
And I was home watching it.
Yeah, you're getting sympathy
pangs. I was like, oh no. It was so sad. It was bad. And then Ruby says, or maybe this, and then she posted the fireman sketch from the Chadwick Boseman episode, which was another.
Yeah.
Yeah, that episode was bizarre.
Someone with the handle of testicle salad.
Go on.
said, "I wanted to hate it, but Corden makes a great Boris Johnson. Do you think he should come back?"
Then next door says, I was ready for Corden's Boris Johnson to be to bit a bit all lazy casting, but he was actually pretty good. Plus, he looked really pumped to be on SNL in the live from and the good night. Maybe should guest host sometime. I can definitely see them bringing back Corden for Boris.
Yeah, Johnson. That feels like that's going to be a thing. I thought my main reaction was if Chris Farley was still with us, he would have been playing that part. They would have brought him back to play Boris Johnson because it was just totally in Chris Farley's wheelhouse. And
for sure. Yeah,
we don't have a Chris Farley anymore, so we got James Corden. And and as I said earlier, it was James Corden playing Chris Farley playing Boris Johnson.
I could, now you say that, Chris Farley would have definitely been Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
So we also have Ryan McGarra saying, when the cold open is the best part of the show, that means it was a bad show overall. That was the case for this episode. And I don't even think the cold open was the best part of this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the cold
open. But I can't argue with the overall point.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's see. Nick Storr also seems to have a positive reaction. It says, was ready to not be into it. I couldn't imagine J-Lo being inspirational or even a good actor. Don't know why you need an SNL host to be inspirational, but okay.
Yeah.
But I really liked it. The cold open was the best of the season, despite cameos and Trump. All the repeat sketches, apart from the last one, made me chuckle. Love Kyle and PM Potty. I think PM Potty was definitely the standout of this episode.
Yeah, I'll agree with that last line. Everything else is...
But even that's, I feel like it's kind of grading on a curve.
Yeah. Like, I feel like if you put that on a stronger show, it would have... You know, kind of been weak in comparison, but because it was on this show,
it would have been a fair to middling sketch.
Yeah,
and on this show, it seemed better than it was. Maybe.
I'll give you that.
Yeah,
but yeah, this episode was stinker.
I saw like Ruby had another comment that I thought was funny, which was just SNL sketch these days. Weird thing happens. Someone comments on weird thing happening, and I was just like, but, I can't really argue with that.
Where's the lie?
That has become kind of a go-to thing that for them.
Yeah.
And maybe too much.
You think? I don't know. I mean, I know we've talked about this before, but I mean, do you think there needs to be like a shake-up either in the writer's room or the actors or
both? I'm feeling like it might be
time
to clean house a little bit.
I
know Lorne doesn't like to do that. I know he likes the show to be more of a steady evolution, which is why he has such a deep bench of people. But why have a deep bench of people if you're going to just bring 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people in
to
the show every single week?
Dude, that Democratic debate sketch on the Will Ferrell, that was insane. There was like 8 people.
When you have more ringers than regular cast members on the stage, I think that's a problem.
I agree. I mean, like, why have the people that there at all if you could just gonna bring in, you know, Paul Rudd or whoever to do their thing just for laughs and you know, Twitter followers
and
or
I'm
whatever.
And I'm generally happy to see Paul Rudd most.
Who isn't happy to see Paul Rudd?
Horrible people.
Yes, terrible, horrible, awful people.
Right.
We're not here to bash Paul Rudd.
Saying. Never.
No, Lord, no. I'm just saying, like, you know, if you have all these cast members that you hired because they can do great impressions or can do songs or can sing or have all these other talents, let them showcase those talents.
Yeah.
And don't do stunt casting as much, or else the stunt casting loses its specialness.
Because, like, I mean, people, they tune in for the host, but I think they keep coming back to the show for the cast.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're not going to put the cast out there and let them show what they can do...
Then what's the point of any? What have any of us doing here?
Then just have rotating ringers every damn week.
Yeah,
you know, just 1 week you have Paul Rudd, next week you have Scarlett Johansson, then you have Woody Harrelson, and they bring a half dozen other people with them. Don't even have a regular cast.
I mean, Alec Baldwin's pretty much a cast member at this point.
He's I'm sure he's appeared more on the show than several cast members.
Yeah, very much so. I mean,
if you added up all his appearances, you would probably have at least 2 seasons worth of SNL.
Yeah, absolutely.
If not 3.
Oof. But yeah, like, I don't know. Here's hoping the next week's episode is better. Next week we have Scarlett Johansson.
Right.
6-time hosting. And musical guest.
Who's the musical guest?
Niles Horan?
Horan. Okay.
Niall Horan. I refuse to learn how to say any of these names correctly. I refuse it on principle.
Our utter indifference to the musical guests these days just amuses me.
it's pretty funny. You know, I'm sure we're going to get the Horn Hive or whatever they call themselves after us.
That's a good name for them, the Horn Hive.
The Horn. Horn.
The Horn Hive.
Whore. Chuckling like Chad. All right, yeah, and that's the show. That's,
you know, it was an off show. Hopefully they got the bugs out, and we'll have a couple really strong shows to finish out the year with.
Here's hoping. Fingers crossed.
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice to have some hope.
They got to be announcing the January host soon.
You think so?
I feel like, yeah. I mean, they usually give us a couple weeks notice. They'll probably announce it the week of the Eddie show when all the eyes are on them.
That's very true.
I bet. That's my guess. That's
very true. Well, we will keep our eyes peeled.
Yeah, that's...
What is wrong with me today? We keep our eyes peeled for that, and we'll let you all guys know.
Isn't it ears peeled?
Ears? It's eyes. You keep
is
your
it eyes?
You peel your eyes, you keep your ears to the grindstone. Right?
I don't even know anymore.
People, I was drinking last night. I'm not going to lie.
You were drinking this afternoon.
All right. And last night. Why you got to...
Okay.
Why you got to give these people a peek behind the curtain?
I don't know. Yeah.
All right. And if you want to follow me...
we're usually not this depressed over the show.
Yeah, usually we're more upbeat. We try not to be salty about it, but
this was a bad show. I mean,
this was a hot diaper.
Yeah,
it was a big old.
Usually,
stinker-oo.
It's more of a mixed bag. This was pretty much.
This was a big old stinkeroo.
Yep,
just a hot wet fart of a show.
But if the people want to follow you, I cut you off.
Yeah, if you want to follow me, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Darren Credible, Darin Credible. If you're in Howell, New Jersey, you can come see me this Friday the 13th at the Grange Playhouse, do some jokes. And this next Tuesday the 17th, I'll be doing a set at the Claire Story Art Gallery in Montclair, New Jersey.
Oh, cool.
So come holler at your boy.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram if you're into that sort of thing, at Trumbull Comic, TrumbullL, and the word comic. And let us know. Are we totally off base about this show?
I don't think we are.
Looking at Twitter, it seemed like a lot of people like this show more than we did.
What?
I was seeing like some favorable reviews, and I think those people are wrong. I'm sure they are very nice people, but I think they are wrong about this thing.
I think those people are like those diehard fans of J-Lo or diehard fans of whoever's hosting, and like no matter what terrible sketch they're in, they're going to be like, no, but this guy's really good because I love J-Lo or I love, you know, Niall Horan, whoever. Yeah. Like, there's just those diehard fans that'll just, like, excuse anything for their fandom for people. But this show was just not good.
It wasn't good.
No,
but next week will be better. That's the beauty of the show.
Tomorrow's another day.
It can always bounce back.
That's right.
And you never know when you're going to get a great classic show. And maybe we'll get that next week or the week after when Eddie Murphy comes on.
You gotta believe, guys.
We follow this like a sports team.
That's right.
You know, sometimes your team loses.
Sometimes they lose, sometimes they win. It's a roll of the die.
They're still your team.
Yeah.
You guys are still our team, SNL.
We love you, man.
All right.
And with that, we say...
Nerds out!
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.